Listen for the word of the Lord. If there is among you anyone in need, a member of your community, and any of your towns within the land that the Lord your God is giving to you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward your needy neighbor. You should rather open your hand, willingly lend enough to meet the need, whatever it may be. Be careful that you do not entertain a mean thought, thinking, the seventh year, the year of remission, is near, and therefore view your needy neighbor with hostility and give nothing. Your neighbor might cry to the Lord against you, and you would incur guilt. Give liberally and be ungrudgingly when you do so. For on this account, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake. Since there will never cease to be some in need on the earth, I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor in your land. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We turn our attention now to the Gospel of Matthew. And to set this story up, in the 22nd chapter, Jesus' opponents have been trying to trick him, have been trying to get him to say something that will incriminate him and get him in trouble. And so they're sort of drawing to the end of that, but this is one more attempt. So we're looking at verses 34 through 40. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a religious lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets." The word of the Lord. And I bet you never thought you'd hear the choir sing that. Thank you, choir, for indulging me. Oh, and kindergarten through second graders, if you want to go on back with Miss Cindy, she's got some fun things in the chapel for you. So, for 895 episodes, over 33 years, Mr. Rogers taught children of multiple generations and adults what it meant to be a compassionate neighbor. He taught them using puppets, using live people, telling stories, whatever it took. He helped them to feel safe, comfortable. He helped them to know the kind of neighbor that they ought to be. But as I said, he didn't only teach children, he also taught adults. And here are some of the things that Mr. Rogers taught those children and tried to teach the adults. And these are all quotes from Mr. Rogers. "To love someone is to strive to accept that person exactly the way he or she is right now. We live in a world where we need to share responsibility. It's easy to say, it's not my child, it's not my community, not my world, not my problem. Then there are those who see the need and respond, he said. I consider them to be my heroes. Mutual caring relationships require kindness, patience, tolerance, optimism, joy in the achievements of others, confidence in oneself, and the ability to give without undue thought to gain. And finally, one he learned from his mother. When I was a boy, I would see scary things in the news. My mother would say to me, "Look for the helpers. You'll always find people who are helping." To this day, especially in times of disaster, I remember my mother's words, and I'm always comforted by realizing that there are still so many helpers, so many caring people in this world. How many of you, or how many of your children or grandchildren, learned to be compassionate neighbors from Mr. Rogers? It's a gift. But the question is, where did Mr. Rogers learn all of this? And when I said that to Cindy, my Cindy, earlier this week, she said, "Duh, his mother." Okay. So that is one good answer. But the other answer is, he learned it from Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you know what other occupation Mr. Rogers had? He was a Presbyterian minister. That's right. A graduate of Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. And when he was ordained, to be ordained as a Presbyterian minister, you have to be ordained to a call, to something specific you're going to do. And his was essentially to teach children about being compassionate neighbors. Now, if you listened to the New Testament story, to this Jesus story we read this morning, you begin to see where Mr. Rogers learned this sense of being compassionate neighbors. So you have all of these people who are trying to trick Jesus. They're trying to get him to say something that's going to get him in trouble. And he seems to sort of weave his way through this. And finally someone says, "Well, what's the greatest commandment?" And there are like 300 commandments, and so he has to choose the right one. And he does. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." But Jesus doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop and say, "Okay, that's it." He goes on and says, "But there's another one just like it. And that is, you shall love your
neighbor
as
yourself."
Right. And so he lays that out there. Now, in Matthew, things just kind of go on. But if we were to head back to the Gospel of Luke, what follows that is someone asks him, "Well, who is my neighbor?" And when he's asked that question, Jesus tells the story we looked at about a month ago of the Good Samaritan. He says, "Let me tell you a story," that there was this Jewish man who was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. He gets beset upon by robbers. He's knocked down to the ground. He's left for dead. Two other Jewish travelers walk by. They ignore him. They pretend he's not there. But along comes a Samaritan, a man who is his sworn enemy. And this Samaritan stops in the road, risking his life, his goods, his money, everything to help this man who is his enemy. And Jesus says to the people, "Well, who's the neighbor?" And they all say, "Well, a Samaritan." Okay? And Jesus says, "Fine, now you go do likewise. You go and be the compassionate neighbor." But Jesus doesn't just teach it. Jesus lives it. Jesus feeds the hungry. Jesus heals those who are in need. Jesus forgives people who need to find forgiveness. Jesus welcomes all, including children, in so he can bless them. Jesus lives this compassionate neighbor and says, this is what it looks like. But again, the question is, where did Jesus learn this? Now, I know most of you are saying, well, duh, he's Jesus. He just knows this. But the reality is, Jesus had to learn this someplace. And where I would argue he learned it was from going to synagogue, going to a synagogue that was in the tradition of a rabbi named, Hillel. How many of you have ever seen like the Hillel school, right? Jewish schools, Jewish communities named after Hillel. What they're named after is a particular rabbi who lived in the time of Jesus. Now, in the time of Jesus, there were two powerful rabbinic schools. One was the school of Shammai. And Shammai's school was very rigid, very legalistic. They made it very difficult for someone to be a good Jew, to follow the law. Then on the other hand, you had the school of Hillel. And the school of Hillel was one that was filled with compassion and caring. And someone has said, they sort of added it all up and said, there are at least 300 places where Shammai and Hillel disagree, with Hillel almost always coming out on the side of compassion for one's neighbor. And here are two of the things that Hillel is known for. And see if these sort of sound familiar to you. The first one is the golden rule. What is hateful to you, don't do to your neighbor. This is the entire law of God, he said. Everything else is just commentary. So love your neighbor as yourself. The second one, I think, is one that I believe we as Christians ought to write someplace and keep in front of us. Whoever destroys a soul, it is considered as if he has destroyed an entire world. And whoever saves a soul has saved an entire world. This is what Hillel taught to Jesus, who taught to Mr. Rogers. But again, where did Hillel get this? And the answer is from the Torah, from what we call the Old Testament. From the book of Deuteronomy, you hear, you know, I think it's interesting. So often when we think of the Old Testament, we think about Joanne Blair, who is one of our ministers, said her Old Testament professor said that the only thing the Old Testament was war, 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 and war. Okay? But you read this part of Deuteronomy and you begin to realize it's not about war. It's about compassion. It's about being that compassionate neighbor. Listen again. If there's anyone among you in need, a member of your community in any of the towns around you, doesn't have to be next door, doesn't have to be in your town, could be in a town far away, don't be hard-hearted or tight-fisted when they are in need. You should rather open your hand willingly, lending enough to meet the need, whatever it may be. And then he goes into this piece about the seventh year. Essentially, what he's saying is, in the seventh year, all debts are forgiven. And so if you're right up against that, and you may not get paid back, you're still to lend them the money. Why? Because this is the way God treats you. Since there will never cease to be some in need on the earth, I therefore command you, God said, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor around you. This is what being a compassionate neighbor is all about. The Torah says, this is it. Open your hand. Don't be tight-fisted. And so there's one last question, and that is, where did the writer of the Torah get this? And the answer is from God. For it is God who offers up the Torah. This is the God who is the Father in Jesus' story of the prodigal who waits for the prodigal son to come home. This is the God in Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan who is the one who stops. This is the God who so loves the world that he gives his only begotten son for the world. This is the God who pours out grace and forgives and feeds. This is the God who shows us what being a compassionate neighbor looks like, because this is how God lives God's self out into the world. We are called to be compassionate neighbors. But if we're honest with ourselves, that is far easier said than done. And it is far easier said than done right now at this moment in history. Because what we seem to be told by so many people is that we are supposed to be compassionate neighbors to everyone except. All I can think of is those Bed Bath & Beyond cards, right? It says 20% off, except. And then lists about 150 things at the bottom. But that's the way people seem to take this call to be compassionate neighbors, except to Syrian refugees. Except to Iraqi refugees, except to Libyan refugees, except to anyone who appears as if they might be remotely from the Middle East. We are to be compassionate neighbors to everyone except Muslims, those people who share our places of work and our hospitals and our neighborhoods. We're to be compassionate neighbors to everyone except those 9,000 homeless people in Oakland County, because they might take advantage of us. We are to be compassionate neighbors except for those people who don't look like us and sound like us and see the world the same way we do and hold the same religion that we do. We're be compassionate neighbors to everybody else, just not them. The funny thing is, when I listen to Mr. Rogers and to Jesus and to the school of Hillel, and to the Torah, and to God, I don't hear any exceptions. I don't see the Bible coming like one of those cards that said, here are the people we can cut out of loving as compassionate neighbors. Now, I realize that some of you may be thinking, well, you know, John is just one of those sort of bleeding heart liberals who... Okay, folks, if you know me at all, you know I am a realist. I am a realist in the way the world works and in the danger of ISIS and all the other evils in the world. But I don't hear Jesus or the Torah or God or anyone else saying that we have the right to say to people whose homes and nations have been utterly destroyed and who are fleeing terrorists, that no, we can't be your compassionate neighbors. I'm a realist who does my best to hear what Christ calls us to do. Now, I want to finish before I give you your challenge. I want to finish with one more quote from Fred Rogers. At the center of the universe is a loving heart that continues to beat and that wants the best for every person. Anything we can do to help foster the intellect and the spirit and the emotional growth of our fellow human beings, that is our job. Those of us who have this particular vision must continue against all odds. For life is made for service. Fred Rogers got it. He knows what it means to be a compassionate neighbor. And so my challenge to all of us here this morning is to prayerfully ask ourselves through this week, how am I being a compassionate neighbor? Not just to those people to whom that's easy, but how am I being a compassionate neighbor to those to whom it might be difficult? Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you have been a compassionate neighbor to us. Give us the courage to do the same for those around us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.